I believe that because people are so busy, they have so many choices, there's so much abundance that's going on, and they're fluid, that the most important thing that we as experienced strategists need to focus on is their time and whether or not we're doing a good job with their time.
Helping you create loyal customers and loyal employees, all through the power of simplicity. This is the Simple Brand Podcast, now heard around the world, including Sykesville, Maryland. I'm your host, Matt Lyles, and this week I'm talking with Dave Norton. Dave's the founder and principal of Stone Mantle, an insights consultancy focused on helping companies create meaningful experiences for their customers. For over 20 years, Dave's helped companies like Best Buy, Royal Caribbean, and Marriott set new standards for customer service and employee experience strategy. And Dave co-hosts the Experience Strategy Podcast, where he explores how organizations create deep and meaningful relationships with their customers. Dave and I talk about an aspect of customer experience that few brands actually place enough focus on: time. More specifically, their customers' time, and how their customers view the value of their time related to the experience that they're being put through. Listen, I'm sure you understand this. Customers have a choice about where they spend their money and if they're going to spend their money on your brand or not. But we have a tendency to forget about the other big choice they make, the choice of where they spend their time. And too many brands today forget to view their customer experience from the perspective of their customers' time. And with that, we see a lot of complicated experience that drive customers to feel like their time is just wasted. Dave and I discuss all the right ways to design your customer experience so that your customers don't see it as time wasted, but rather time well saved, time well invested, and especially time well spent. So here it is. Here's my interview with Dave Norton. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm excited to dig into this subject because I love what you focus on. And something you focus on a lot is around the subject of time. And I've got to think, 2023, here we are. We've got so many digital tools, so many digital apps, all this software, and all these experiences that when they were presented to us, they promised that they'd help save us time. But when I look at my own life, it feels like I've got less and less time and feels like we don't really have that much time in our lives. Why is that?
Yeah, it feels probably like you're really stressed out all the time, right? And you never get a real break or anything along that line. I think everybody is dealing with these exact same situations. Part of it has to do with the fact that most of the companies that are designing solutions for us today are not really thinking about time well saved. They're thinking about being convenient or simple. And what happens is that they all kind of sell this idea that we're going to save you time by being convenient, user-friendly, little tasks, help you to accomplish things, but they don't actually look at your entire situation, the world that you find yourself in, and they're not coordinating with the other technologies that are out there to make your life better. All they understand is this is a little bit more convenient way for an incrementally better way for you to interact with us, right? And us to interact with yeah. you. And so then all of a sudden you've got all these notifications. It doesn't really help you all that much. And I do think that a lot of companies have been very focused on convenience. And there's only so far that convenience can take you. You have to start thinking about time well spent, time well saved, time well invested if you're going to be successful.
So what does that mean to consider those things, time well spent, saved, invested, from our customers' standpoint?
Well, customers oftentimes don't make that delineation. They oftentimes will just say, oh, well, that was worth my time. That was time well spent. But they actually mean three distinct things. Let's start with time well saved for a second here. Anything that could be automated and queued for you. So it's put in some kind of a queue, whether that's a shopping basket, an email inbox, some kind of a news feed or a social media type feed, anything that could be done where you want it to be automated and you want it to be queued, the customer probably wants from that time well saved. They want you to be doing more of the work, them to be doing less of the work, and it to fit nicely into their system, whatever their system is that they've created. So that's kind of what time well saved is all about. It's about saving you time, and it's about making services that fit into your world. Time well spent, on the other hand, is about orchestrating the things in your life that you want to engage with. Yeah. That are meaningful to you. Time with family, the way you do your work, the modes that you get into. There's a lot of different things that you do where you're not really trying to make them go away. You're trying to make them more meaningful. And so sometimes we come up with apps that make the most meaningful things that we're trying to do go away. That's using a time well saved strategy on a time well spent type of experience. And nice. So that's a problem. So that's the distinction between the two. If the customer wants to spend time doing it, you need to make sure that it's meaningful for them.
Gotcha. Yeah. So basically, like this is where the customer is saying, these are the things that I want to spend time doing. So I want to spend time in this as opposed to these other things.
And companies can get confused on these two categories as well. So they might set up a retail strategy where they're really trying to get people to spend more time with them. And their customers are like, you know what? I would really rather save time. I'm going to go on Amazon and just purchase it because it's not a meaningful part of my life, what you're asking me to do. And then other companies, they do a really good job of making it meaningful. And the customer is very willing to spend time doing it. And it's ironic because I would assume that most shoppers at Costco consider it time well spent. It's not a convenience to go to Costco. Yes. You know, it's... But they,
once you're in there, you know that you're going to be in there for a little while.
That's right. And there's nothing crazy about Costco, but you feel like you should be there. And it's enjoyable in its own Costco-like way.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Amazon is a different experience. It's time well saved right there. And it's perfectly fine for what it's trying to do, but you don't see Amazon trying to get into Costco's space, right?
Yeah.
Quite so much. So that's the difference that I see between the two of those categories. And then there's a third category.
Yeah.
And that's time well invested. And that has to do with helping people to prepare for something that's going to happen in the future. When I go to school, if it's a good experience and I go to learn something, the reason why it's a good experience, the reason why I'm willing to spend time going to school is because I believe that there's going to be a payoff for me in the future, somewhere down the line. Or the other reason is because it kind of commemorates something that was really meaningful for me in the past. When I go to graduate, that's a defining moment. Feels like an investment in my past or an investment in my future. Both of those are examples of time well invested. And then the mindset of the customer changes again. And they're not necessarily just looking for meaningfulness. They're looking for some sort of personal transformation that has happened because of the time that they spent with you.
So I think of time well invested. Like my most recent example is I'm kind of proud of myself. I've gotten in a really good habit, really good discipline of getting up early in the morning, and I spend about an hour and a half doing a lot of stretching and then exercising or walk, run or whatever. And in the moment, I wouldn't call that enjoyable time. I don't know if I would call that, I'd consider it time well spent in the moment, but I would certainly consider it time well invested.
And you're starting to see returns on that, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So Matt today is really appreciative of Matt 6 months ago, 9 months ago, 12 months ago for making those decisions to keep getting up early and spending that time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think kudos to you for doing that. I can tell you that I've taken the opposite route. I get up a little bit later all the time. That's not working for me. So at some point I got to change my pattern.
There is something to be said for investing your time in getting a lot of sleep too.
Well, I've learned that.
Yeah.
If nothing else. Yeah. Those are the distinctions between the three.
So when we look at all three of those, should brands decide, hey, we want to focus on one of these three aspects, or is there a mixture across the three that they can take? How do they approach that?
I think the answer is to be purposeful. Okay. You can have a mixture, but you can't call a mess a mixture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, we just did all of these things. Oh, this kind of looks like time well saved. This kind of looks like time well invested. That's not the point. The customer needs to know that you're being intentional with their time, and that you understand the design principles that will lead to them experiencing one of these versions of time. Most very sophisticated organizations, financial institutions, retail organizations, they're going to have a mixture. But if they don't understand what they're doing and how they're either saving or making it time well spent or time well invested, I think they run the risk of just confusing the customer.
Earlier, we were talking about focusing on experience and creating either a convenient experience, or sometimes people want to focus on creating a surprise and delight experience, a remarkable experience. What happens when brands decide to focus more on crafting an experience, but then forget about that aspect of time?
What it means for the organization is that they probably are kind of generic in the way that they're approaching things. There's a lot of companies out there that have been taught that the way to design an experience is first to come up with a journey map that's based on a persona profile.
Right.
Okay. And so, good. That might be the most basic minimal thing that you need to do. You start there. It helps you identify pain points, key moments, helps you to understand who the customer is. Fine. All well and good. That is not the end point for creating meaningful experiences. You need to go a step further, and you need to start to think about their time as their greatest asset that they're willing to spend with you. That's then where you start to think about, all right, so should we be using this particular type of channel or tool, or should we be using this type of channel or tool? Because which one's going to help us the most to help their time?
Yeah, and I think I'd either heard you talk about or seen where you've written about, when you focus on customer segments, when you focus on personas like that, it ends up limiting innovative thinking.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been a long time. This is the old man in me that's kind of coming through. But there was a wonderful case study that a lot of people, I think in Harvard Business Review, they had some articles about this back in 2002, 2003. You know, that was a long time ago, where the question was, why didn't Sony create the iPod? And back in the day, everybody was confused why Apple came up with the iPod and not Sony, because Sony came up with the Walkman.
Right.
And they had all the music rights. They had all of the capabilities that were required. Apple had to go and create all of that stuff from scratch. Why didn't they do it? And when they looked at it, the number one reason why they didn't do it is because of Sony's segmentation strategy. They thought they were actually talking to different customers. And Apple didn't have a segmentation strategy. They had a job that they were trying to get done: deliver portable electronic music.
Yeah.
And Sony was like, oh no, our Walkmans are designed for this audience. And our movies are designed for that audience. And it made it impossible for their teams to work together. That was 22 years ago, and we're still repeating the same mistake over and over again. And now we live in a world where you can individualize everything. You can customize everything for your customer. I get flabbergasted sometimes when I work with my clients or new customers. When they start talking to me about these diverse segments they're going after, it really takes us your focus off of the experience itself and what you need to do to give the right experience.
There's something to be said for doubling down on focusing on that overall experience and the experience that you want to be known for as a brand, instead of being known for something different to different people.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you get your purpose. That's where you get your energy. That's how you're able to focus. There's a related issue associated with this, Matt, that I want to bring up. And that is, we as experienced strategists have really been taught by persona work and customer segmentation work, and even the way that we approach journey work, to think about the who first. So who is it that we're going after? We've been told over and over again, there's an audience out there. We have to know the size and the look and the feel. And that's where empathy comes from. That's what it's all of that is about. I think that we need to make the shift from focusing on the who to focusing on the what. And what I mean by the what is the situation that people find themselves in. If we really want to understand the person, we need to understand first the situation that they find themselves in, because lots of people may find themselves in a similar type situation. And when you study the situation, you understand the moment, you understand the context, you're still able to empathize. But whoever finds themselves in that situation becomes your customer. And you don't have to worry about stereotyping them into a particular gender, a particular category, and so forth. So I think that that's really important.
Well, and when we look at a lot of the, disruptor brands over the past few decades, it seems to me like a number of them focused on that situation, or rather around the problem in that situation. Not so much, you know, here's a certain customer, here's a persona, here's a segment we want to reach. It's here's the situation, here's the problem that we see in that situation. Why does it have to be this way? What can we do to solve that?
Yeah, we all admire these amazing brands, Apple, Google, you name it. There's some great companies that are out there. who is the segment for Google? I mean, it's a non-starter as a question. We wouldn't even ask it. It's everybody. Well, why is it everybody? Because when you're doing search, this is what you need. This is the best tool for that. So I think if you were to look at the brands that people care about the most, Tesla is not positioning themselves as only being for the environmentally conscious customer.
Right.
That's not what they're trying to do. They're a universal brand. Twitter, same thing. They're trying, maybe that's the more controversial topic right now. But but what I'm saying is that the best entrepreneurs that we see out there today that are building the biggest, most exciting businesses, they're really not focused on segmentation.
Yeah. Yeah. Focus more on that situation. And a lot of times, like, what are the problems that can be solved in that situation?
Yeah, exactly.
So when we look at the customer experience that we're delivering, how can we find out whether our customers consider that experience time well spent or worth their time?
I love that question. And it's something that we've been studying for a number of years. It relates to another challenge that we have in the experience strategy space. It has been close to 25 years since NPS was introduced into the world. Yeah. And when it was originally introduced, it served a very, very different purpose. Back then, and like nobody's old enough to remember this, but back then, there were the customers that you wanted and the customers that you didn't want.
Right.
Okay. The customers you wanted were the promoters, and the customers you didn't want were the detractors.
Yes.
And so the whole idea of NPS was to get rid of the detractors. No company, right? And you just kind of look.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right. Right.
That was the original idea, is that you only want your loyalists. No company today would be crazy enough to eliminate their detractors. So it was built for a different world. A completely different world than what we find ourselves in today. I believe that because people are so busy, they have so many choices, there's so much abundance that's going on, and they're fluid, that the most important thing that we as experienced strategists need to focus on is their time and whether or not we're doing a good job with their time. So we've developed what we call the time well spent metric. Which helps you to think about whether or not, ask questions in the moment. So it's a transactional type of metric.
Okay.
That helps you to ask a little bit more specific questions in the moment that really help you to determine whether or not the customer feels like it's time well spent. It's not one question, it's three questions. And you don't have to ask all three questions at the same time. You can rotate those questions so that it's simple for people, but it is, I think, a much better approach to measuring the value of an experience than NPS is today. It may have been great in its day, but I think it's time for new approaches.
Yeah, time to move on. Well, so what are those three questions?
So we ask a job to be done question.
Okay.
We have kind of a universal question that can be asked, or you can ask a specific question, but did we help you to accomplish what you hoped you would? It's like the job to be done universal question. Then you can ask a more specific question for your experience. Then we ask an engagement question. Now, by engagement, we mean engagement with the specific experience that they just had, not overall engagement,
right?
Which is more of a brand type question. Okay. And the universal question is not really that universal, honestly. This is one where you need to adjust. It's how enjoyable was the experience? Now, if you're in healthcare, you may not want to ask that question, or maybe you do. There are certain categories where there are other types of engagement that you want. Maybe there's how trustworthy was the experience. There's a lot of different approaches that we can take, and we can talk about that. And then the last question is value for time. Was this experience worth the time that you spent? When you bring those three questions together, you know if you got the job done for them, whether they were engaged, and whether or not they valued the time. And if one of those is off, you know where to focus.
Right, yeah. So
value the time, but the job to be done wasn't done, then focus on the job to be done. And if the job was done, but the value for time wasn't really there, then focus on why it is that they don't value the time.
Well, that does kind of help you understand like which levers you need to pull, where you need to make adjustments within that specific engagement, within that specific interaction. So then I'm curious, is there an ideal way for you to find and pinpoint specific interactions or specific engagements along the customer experience or throughout the customer experience to understand where to invest to make time better?
Yeah, absolutely. These pieces all kind of fit together. So if you're beginning to think about the time value of the customer, you're more likely to be focused on the situation that the customer finds themselves in. Okay. And you're starting to delineate between time saved type experiences and time well invested type of experiences. Again, it's going to encourage you to focus on the situation. So on top of the metric that we've developed for time well spent and time well saved and invested, we have developed an approach to what we call situational analytics that allows you to look at a variety of different situations and prioritize them. What are the situations that customers are dealing with the most? How important are they? What do they value about those particular situations? And so you can then begin using situational analytics to do some of the same kind of heavy lifting that you might do with kind of preference-based or segmentation-based analytics, but be focused on the situation.
Okay, well, that helps out. So then let's say you get to that point, you've looked at all the different situations, all the different interactions and engagements, and you've done all the work to craft an experience that meets your customers' needs based on how they want to spend their time, whether it's time well spent, invested, or saved. And you can say, congrats, we did it. Reality says that as we move forward into the future, customer expectations are going to change, and we're not quite certain exactly how, when, and where they're going to change. So how do you deal with that kind of uncertainty in our experience design?
I'm so glad you asked that question, and it's something that I have been thinking a lot about, and I can't say that I have a complete answer for it yet, but it is one of the topics that I'm taking on. We have a program we run called the Collaboratives, where we bring together companies and we study topics over a year's period of time. And this next year, we're going to be doing an entire track just around uncertainty. You think about it, like these companies, they have to be nimble. They, in a way that maybe they didn't think nimble meant in the past.
Right.
And customers are changing and evolving and trying to react to a world that's also changing for them. I think that we as experienced strategists need to do a better job of designing, not just designing for the permanent and the ideal. Like, oh, figured this out. We've solved it. But instead, design for the less than ideal and the impermanent. And we don't really have a lot of tools that we have at our disposal right now that help us to do that. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, Matt, that I don't know the answer yet, but that's where my research is headed kind of going forward.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, and that speaks to the need to just be consistently, constantly paying attention to what's going on in our customers' lives, in our own brand, in our own capabilities, and then what everything else that's happening to our customers and to the world out there.
Totally agree.
You're currently working on a book right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going in that?
One of the most fascinating things I think that has happened as people have tried to adjust to the digital world is their use of this term modes. People talk about getting into modes today all the time. There's beast mode, there's mommy mode, there's remote work mode. I just saw a Ford commercial called U mode, you know, like fun mode, all the different things that you could do in your truck or your car. And I think that this idea of modes is how people are adjusting to this world where they're overwhelmed with all of these different choices. They only want the choices or the mode that they're in that particular time. So I'm writing a book about consumer behavior. What are modes? How do they function? We've got 10 years of research that we've done on modes and how consumers think about modes that's going into this book. And I'm excited about it. It's not done yet, but I think it will help us think very differently about time and the value of time.
No, that's the fascinating take on that. I'm anxious for that book to come out.
Thank you.
Dave, I have loved talking about the subject here on time. I've learned a lot from you, but where can people go to learn more?
Our website is stonemantel.co. That's Stone, MANTEL.CO. We would love to interact with people and share some of the trends work we're doing, some of the other research that we're doing, or some of our articles.
Excellent. Yeah, lots of ways for brands and for leaders to figure out what they can do to deliver a better time experience to their customers.
Exactly.
Dave, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Matt. It's been such a pleasure. Really has.
I hope you enjoyed my discussion with Dave Norton. You can learn more from him and Stone Mantle's work at stonemantle.co. From their research, reports, and resources to their consulting, you'll find lots of ways for them to help your brand deliver a customer experience that's always time well spent. And if you're enjoying the Simple Brand Podcast, go ahead, hit the subscribe button, because that's going to make it so much simpler for you to get future episodes like the next one featuring Tiffany Bova. Tiffany and I discuss her lessons from her latest book, The Experience Mindset, Changing the Way You Think About Growth. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll automatically get Tiffany's episode as soon as it's live. Until then, keep it simple.